Have you been in a leadership role for a while and think you have those leadership lessons learned? In this episode of The Leadership Hustle, we'll discuss the curse of knowledge and what to do about it.
Hello, and welcome to The Leadership Hustle for executives whose companies are growing fast and need leaders who are ready.
How many years have you been in some kind of leadership management role?
I prefer not to say.
Okay, let's say it this way. You and I have been in leadership roles for decades.
Yes.
One of us fair. More decades than the other. Now, that being said, the people that we're talking about could be our age.
Yes.
All right? And our topic really is about unlearning to be a better manager, to be a better leader. And people are like, why do I need to unlearn to be a better leader? I'm already a leader. I'm like, well, you have positional leadership.
Yes. Yes.
But does that really mean that people are choosing to follow you? Because leadership is given, whether you have the title or not, right? And so in today's episode, I think what's really fun about this is we get to do a little bit of a history lesson. And then what we get to do is do the fun stuff. So with our history lesson, most of the leadership theories and the way people are organized in companies and hierarchies and budgets and things like that were established in the second industrial revolution. So just for those of you that don't remember your history lesson, that's over 100 years ago. And we're still doing some of the same crap.
A lot of the same stuff.
And so I also, you know, as I reflect back, I think about the books that have leadership development and management philosophies and things like that, they refer to things that have been in other books and have been carried around for generations. Mm-hmm. And yet, that doesn't make it right. It does not make it right. So I thought, let's talk a little bit about how these habits get into our head. The way we manage and lead today is based on habits.
Yes.
So as long as you've been in that role, you're doing something over and over and over again, it creates a habit, right?
Yes. And it's probably learned from maybe who you observed, if you had any training.
Right.
If you read any books or listened to podcasts. I mean, there's a series of things.
Right.
But,
so if you're doing certain things over and over again, there's some, you know, what's the benefit of just, well, I've been doing it this way for years. Are there benefits?
It's the easy button.
It's the
freaking easy button. Because I don't have to think. I just do it. It doesn't take a lot of energy. It is literally the easy button.
So it's just a habit. If this happens, then I do X. And so I know that I need to establish one-on-ones. And if I just set that every month, it's going to happen that automatically that's exactly what's going to work. And by the way, we like one-on-ones. But that doesn't mean that the one-on-one needs to be the same agenda, or it doesn't mean that it only needs to be one-on-one once a month, or that, you know, there's philosophies about one-on-ones, like who's leading this meeting, is it the leader who's leading the meeting, or is it the employee who's leading the meeting? And so there's philosophies that never existed of having one-on-ones before, mm-hmm. and now you're doing them, and now we're doing those, and now what does it look like? So looking back at these habits of thought, I just remember the days when I was learning to be a manager leader. Literally, I didn't have a book. Nobody taught me. I mean, I'm having to watch other people, and I was like, well, I don't work. I'm not going to do that. You know, and then I try to be friends with people. Well, that didn't work either, right? And so with the people that we coach, Michelle, you've got some classes right now where you have people who have been in management leadership roles for quite some time. What are some of the things that you find that would be helpful for them to unlearn that is probably getting in the way of them being as successful as those they lead would like to be?
Well, I think what creates a lot of aha moments during those discussions is when we lean into more of the emotional intelligence, which we've talked a lot about, so I don't want to dive into that. But really getting into the human side of managing people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because a lot of times it can feel very transactional in how we get things done and how we do things and all the assumptions we make. We don't recognize all, you know, those things. And it's looking at the human perspective and how unique each person is and sure. how people see things differently. That is, I think, where with people that I'm working with, they have probably the biggest aha moment. And sometimes it's the techniques of maybe how to delegate who and so forth, because they've always just done it their way and really hadn't thought about the impact. So again, it gets back into the human side of things, but the impact our actions have. We make assumptions and assume people are going to feel a certain way when we do X or don't do X, and recognizing or realizing, oh, shoot, you know, maybe I'm creating an environment where people don't feel like trust them. I don't trust them because I don't delegate. That wasn't my intent, right? There's more of these, I'm going to say these little ahas, but they really go back to the human side, not the tactical management thing.
So let's take that one step further and say, so when people are individual contributors, they're doing lots of tasks, tactical kinds of responsibilities. When you go to the next level of responsibility, many of them, there's a management component and a leadership component. And we separate the two with managing resources, which is time and equipment and schedules and information, versus leadership, which is leading people and coaching and challenging them and giving them the feedback that they need to
really
understand the impact they're having around,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So what it sounds like is that people get good enough managing the resources. So they're directing. You need this. You need to take care of that. You know, so there's a lot of...
A lot of telling. A lot of problem solving on your own, not including others. And, you know, why would I include others? There's a lot of... just not necessarily involving people's views and
asking the question of
what are they learning and how
do we make it better?
Yes.
Or what could be different? Or is there a more efficient way? Or whatever those kinds of things are. So people get into a rhythm of management because those above them expect them to manage those resources.
Yes.
And yet the people that they report to them, they tend to want and feel the need for leadership. You know, I joke with people when they say, when they interview people, and this is a trick question, by the way, is, okay, new prospective employee, you know, like, how do you want to be managed? There's only one answer to this. I don't. I don't want to be managed. I want to be led. And so those who are moving up into the organization need to unlearn managing all those resources, teaching other people how to manage resources,
and
delegating
those
responsibility, and recognizing that they can lead, but even the techniques of how to lead so many.
Yes, and I think there's a difference too between that management and leadership as you elevate an organization. Excuse me. most people hold on to what they're really good at. That's their safety zone, that's their comfort, and that tends to be tactical because that's what
probably... I can check the box, yeah. I can prove it.
And that's probably what got them promoted because they're really good at X, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think sales is always a great environment to kind of show, you know, you've got the salesperson, they're rocking, hitting those numbers, they're doing great at this. So, let's promote them to a sales manager. Well, they still want to be really good at the things, and they really hold tight to the things they did really well at sales, the
right.
doer, right? And that's where it's them unlearning. It's like, okay, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about you winning, no longer about you hitting those numbers. It's about you helping your people
right.
hit those numbers. So it goes, you know, it goes into that managing the technical side and the emotional side. So that might be at that first level, I don't know, 50-50-ish. But then if you get elevated again, you're even less involved in the tactical, should be, and more involved in the leadership. But what you find a lot of times is they continue to hold on to more of that management, which can feel like micromanagement too at times.
Right.
Or I don't have choice, I don't have freedoms, right? Versus letting some of that go and increasing their skills of leading people and
right.
the emotional soft skills and what are we doing? And that futuristic and getting people to buy in, they're not hanging out there, they're more into the weeds.
So there's a lady that I was coaching not that long ago, and she had been promoted into a vice president role. So smart. This woman was incredibly smart. And so when things were happening, I mean, she was the person who came in and she could solve the problem, and she could tell people what to do and how people needed to make things happen. But the reality is, when you get to this level in the company, her being the problem solver was not working very well.
No. And so things change.
Telling her peers what to do, she was telling the people that she led everything that they needed to do. And so she hadn't elevated herself to be the consultant or the coach or the educator of how people should. She was being the director, the dictator, the taking the power and the authority, to make those things happen. And so as we coach different individuals in their leadership role, one of the things that we often ask people to do is, what do you need to stop doing? And they look at me like, what do you mean? What am I going to stop doing? And they're like, we can't stop doing anything. The thing, it's like, let's do a time study. Let's show me what you're doing. Let's look at what are those things that, it's like I'm answering emails. Well, let's peel back that onion.
Should be getting those emails?
Who should be getting those emails? Are you coaching with those emails? Are you directing them with those emails? Are you getting into things you shouldn't get into with those emails? Mm-hmm. And so answering emails is not a bucket, okay? There's a lot of buckets inside of that area. So with time management, with a time study, now we can start peeling back and finding out, what is it that you actually do? And is this, why are you not having somebody else do that? Is it somebody else's job? Do they not know how to do it? Do you not trust them? Is the trust thing in your head, or is the trust thing is because you haven't taught them?
Yeah.
Right? So this whole concept of, you have a habit of doing what you do because it feels efficient.
And she's winning. She gets to feel good because she solved a problem, possibly. Yes. But the other catch is, as you elevate an organization, the tactical how we get things done sometimes changes from when you were down in that, right? And so they're making improvements, they're making process improvements, or doing things a little different, maybe not totally different, but a little different.
Right.
But then you come in dictating, barking orders, solving problems, but you're solving problems the old way, not the current way. And then that actually creates an environment where people in that front line, they don't believe in you. They don't listen, and they're not going to follow you because you're giving advice that's not even relevant to how we do things today. Right. That might have been the old way, but that's not how we currently do it. And then someone else comes in the middle, that middle manager, that poor middle manager, who has to clean up what you just said respectfully and lead and direct the team on things that they need to do, how we need to do it today.
Right.
And then that's a whole other.
So looking at this, so one, we know where our habits come from, just by doing something over and over and over again. And by doing something over and over and over again is a habit, but it doesn't make it right. It simply means that's just the way you do it, or that's how you think of it. And there are things that are good that we do that. We don't have to think about it. This is how I tie my shoe. I don't have to think about it, right? Correct. This is how I drive to work. I don't have to think about it. And yet, when we get to work, when we're doing the work that we need to, and we're in a role of leadership, there is some amount of what we do that's management, and there's a lot, especially the further we move up in the organization, that is leadership. And so I want to challenge all of the leaders out there who are listening to this podcast to think about, are there the things that you do, with the, let's say it's a meeting. Have you thought to ask the group that you meet with, is there a way to make this meeting more valuable? Does it need to be the same amount of time?
Would we adjust
longer
the time
or shorter, but does it need to be the same amount of time? Do we have the right people here? Do we understand the intention or the purpose of this meeting, and what would make it even better? Does it mean people look at something ahead of time and then we discuss it, or do we have the things looked at a time, and what is it that we're doing?
Yeah.
Is there a way to do our one-on-ones differently? Is there a different way to connect with people individually that works better for each person? You don't have to have it the exact same way with all of the people that report directly to you. So my challenge to you leaders out there is question what you're doing. Not that the intention isn't right, but is there a different way to do it that might be more valuable? Maybe there are people that have opinions. There's podcasts like this that you can listen to. There are plenty of books out there. And
so it's about learning.
Don't forget that whole internet thing, you know, that people have all kinds of ideas and opinions. But what works best for the people you lead and that you work with and you is different from person to person. And so we don't have to go back all the way back 100 years to the Industrial Revolution to find out how to lead our people. If you or any of the leaders you work with are trying to update or modernize your leadership style, check us out at RevellaGroup.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode.